Welcome to the Growing in Grace podcast, where you can listen in on some casual conversation about the good news of Jesus without all of the inconsistent religious double talk. If you've ever struggled with feelings of hopelessness, guilt, and despair, or wondered if you're really right with God, it's time to discover the true freedom that comes with the gospel of unlimited and overflowing grace.
Here we are once again, the Growing in Grace podcast with me, Mike Kapler, Joel Brzezicki, of course. More than 20 years we've been doing this, and some people might not know it, but you can find all of them on our flagship website at growingingrace.org, and lots of places out there these days to catch our podcast on different app platforms. How are you this week, Joel?
Hey, good. Hey, didn't I just see you somewhere in real life?
We haven't seen each other for a while, I guess, now that you say that. We bumped into each other at a store. Joel was in the snack mood. That's about all I'll say about that.
Oh, yeah. Loading up on my snacks. And it was, by the way, it was at Menards, which a few weeks ago I mentioned that I had my, I was using my Menards cup mug that I got for free as a birthday gift from Menards. And, so our friend Matt McMillan said he was listening to that particular podcast, and he told us that at the very time, the very moment that I mentioned Menards, so he lives in the state down south of us. We're in Iowa. He's in Missouri. And so I don't know how popular Menards are around the country. I don't think they're a countrywide thing. But anyway, he was driving by a Menards, and just as he heard me say the word Menards, he looked at the sign that says Menards. And so, you know, that's, what did you say? You said that proves that there's a God or something like that.
The spirit at work.
The spirit at work. But I do. No. I've had some things like that where two things converge at the same time, and it kind of makes you go,
I know it is strange when certain things happen like that. But now, after we parted ways, because we met each other up at the checkout, and Joel went his way, I went my way. And you know what my way was, Joel?
I don't know.
You know the direction that I went?
You went to plant some flowers. Okay, what?
No, I was being led to go over to that fish and fry truck.
Oh, on the hook.
Yeah.
That is some good stuff.
It's over in that other side of the parking lot there. And, you know, by the time I got home and ate that stuff, my sharply chiseled abs completely disappeared. Sharply chiseled abs.
Say that.
They were gone in about 5 minutes.
Yeah, they food truck has been coming by like every 2 weeks. And since I work nearby there, because like when you saw me, I told you I was at work. And I was kind of, I skipped out from work for a half hour. And, I've been tempted more than once, but I only did it once to go to that food truck because it's expensive, but it is good.
Yeah, it's you got to satisfy that craving once in a while. It is a little bit costly, but I went there mainly because I was just trying to be more like Jesus. I mean, he ate fish, so I'm going to eat fish, right?
Yeah, and then the other basket was full of chips, right? Fries, French fries.
Yeah, they gave you a lot of those. My wife is not a big fish person, but she did split the fries with me. So, but yeah, my abs were still gone. When I looked down and saw that, I hadn't been so disappointed since I found out M&Ms really do melt in your hand. But, that's a story for another day.
It's a sad story.
You had somebody comment on one of your social media posts. Let's dive into that and figure it out.
Let's figure this out. Let's get into this, you know, because we're here with all the answers. But I can't remember what my post said, but
they might not all be the right answers, by the way. But
yeah, I was going to say, answers. People always say, I've got a question for you. So I got answers. I don't know if they'll be right, but I got answers. So the question that somebody asked, and again, I can't remember what exactly I said on the post. It had to do with the law and grace. And somebody said, so why do Christians believe it is right to mix law and grace? Why are churches teaching this? And she says, I know that it's very common for churches to do that, but I'm getting tired of seeing that taught as the truth, which I understand, because it is unfortunately all too common that there's a mixture of law and grace in the church. I mean, it's almost as if Christ came and taught people and instructed Paul and all the other apostles to teach people to mix law and grace. It's almost as if in some people's minds that is the gospel, and that's actually another gospel, which is no gospel at all. When Paul talked about that in Galatians, you know, some are coming to you teaching this other gospel, but it's really no gospel at all. It's the gospel, the so-called gospel, where they say, yes, it's fine, grace, you're saved by grace through faith, and that's wonderful, but you also have to keep some law. You have to either, and churches today are saying either the whole law or bits and pieces of the law. We've talked about that and how people are missing it, because the law itself is a law that's made up of 613 commandments, and you cannot, according to the law itself, you cannot break it up. It's one law made up of all those commandments. You can't break it up. It's theologians who have made it into moral, civil, and sacrificial laws. The Bible itself, the law itself, does not make that distinction. So some people say, well, we need to keep the moral law. And people get angry, because in that same post, I had somebody getting angry with me because they believe that you do have to keep the law. Jesus taught the law. Jesus upheld the law. Jesus upheld tithing. Jesus upheld all these things. And so let's, you know, with that, let's get into this. I'll just give what my brief answer was, then we can kind of talk about this. And I think one reason, I think the biggest reason why people mix law and grace in the church today is because you have a lack of understanding regarding the two major covenants. Something we've talked about a lot on this podcast. You got the old covenant and you got the new covenant. They're both in the Bible. And so people open up their Bible wherever, on whatever page they land, and they think, this is for me. This is God's word to me because it's the Bible. This is just what people think. And they don't differentiate between the old covenant, which ended, the old covenant of law. The old covenant was a covenant of 613 laws that the people themselves said that they would keep. You know, God made this covenant with them, and they didn't. They didn't keep it. And so, this is being very brief here, so the new covenant came in which it wasn't dependent upon the people at all to keep laws. The old covenant was then done away with, and the new covenant started, which was based on God's promise to himself and the blood of Jesus, and not dependent one iota upon what a person does. But without that understanding, people just opened up the Bible. Jesus did indeed teach law, but he was teaching it to people who were under the law as part of that old covenant, to help them to understand the old covenant, and ultimately what that led to was their understanding of why the new covenant was needed. Jesus wasn't teaching it, wasn't teaching law, wasn't teaching old covenant to teach Christians to do that, but he was teaching that in order to show people that that would not work, that people trying to make themselves righteous by keeping the law would not work, and so a new covenant was needed that wasn't dependent upon that. And so, without that understanding, I think that's one reason why people mix law and grace. What do you think?
Yeah, it's a simple question. The answer is a bit complicated, I think. You know, like you said, the Bible isn't one book.
Right.
And somehow, you know, these documents were collected and put together hundreds of years after the cross, going back to, I mean, even our Old Testament isn't identical to the scriptures that people like Paul and Jesus quoted from. They are not identical. They're not exactly the same. Not everything that they had access to or were familiar with is even necessarily in our Bible. So a lot of it, I agree with you, a lot of it comes down to understanding that this collection of writings is largely based upon an old covenant that God made with Israel and a new covenant that came through Jesus Christ. And the new is not an addendum to the old.
Right.
It is not something that was tacked on to the old. It replaced the old. It was something that was different. The writer of Hebrews said it would not be like the first covenant. They are not alike. And so understanding that you do have those two covenants is kind of an important thing. So much of it, too, comes down to how somebody wants to see the Bible. We're so thankful that we have these writings to look back upon. But I think if we're being honest with ourselves, we could also say having access to the Bible in the form that we know it, it has also caused a lot of confusion.
Remember,
I don't think we've said this quote for a while, Joel, but probably the person who helped launch us in our early journey of grace over 30 years ago, he made the statement that the Bible can be one of the most dangerous things you'll ever read if you don't understand the gospel. Well, we're all growing in our understanding of that, but as you begin to grow in the grace of God and what the good news is really supposed to be, then you begin to see things you didn't see before. And that's what fascinates me personally, is how I spent the first 23 years of my Christian life, you know, like from the age of 10 to my early 30s. This was like back in the 1600s when this was going on.
Long time ago. A lot of history has passed.
Yes, we kerosene lamps and 50 yards to the bathroom, all of that. That was me. But it was fascinating to me. I was astounded once I began to see the gospel. And I read the Bible a lot, you know, a lot, as a young person growing up. And there was just so much that I thought I was seeing, but I wasn't seeing it correctly. And the same is still going to be true today to some extent, maybe to a large extent still. But then because you and I kind of hit the same crossroads around the same time, pretty close, and we were just so taken back by, why didn't we see this stuff before? Why didn't we see it before? And so how we interpret what the Bible is and the different verses and the concepts, like you mentioned, Jesus spoke about the law. I mean, one guy even came up to him and said, hey, he had a lot of money too. And he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? How can I be sure? Well, Jesus said, yeah, you probably know the law. You should go do that. Just do the law. Do the commandments. Follow those. And then you'll have eternal life. And the guy was like, well, I'm feeling pretty good about my chances here. I think I've done it. I think I've kept those commandments. I've been following the law. Well, he really hadn't been. And Jesus knew that. But we take a little clip like that, a little snippet, and we say, see, Jesus said we should keep the law. And we don't have the proper context of the passage and of the covenant in general and the purpose of what Jesus was trying to do. And sometimes it's difficult for us to understand why Jesus said some of the things that he said. Who did he say them to? When did he say them? And that carries over into some of the letters, you know, things that were said in the book of Acts. So it's a challenge. But one thing is clear. Paul said, you, when he was writing to some people in the letter that we know as Romans, he said, you are not under law. You are under grace. Mm-hmm. And that's a powerful statement right there. And when we talk about law, as you were referring to, Joel, with the Mosaic Law and those over 600 plus commandments, rules, and statutes for the Jewish people that non-Jewish people were never under, when we refer to that, now today, even though there are churches who advocate for keeping a small sliver, whether it's the top 10 or you might pick another 10 or 20 after that if you want to, most of them are ignored. Most of them, they'll say, well, those expired, but we're still required to keep these, like you alluded to. What we've got going on today in our world is law, but it's not really the Mosaic Law. It's just a modernized version of it that people have come up with in their own little corner of the church world to try and make it doable for people to achieve some sort of success so that we can all feel good about ourselves. And it takes our eyes off of Jesus. It's not the gospel. It's not grace, even though there may be little traces of it here and there. You know, you're going to hear some stuff. Maybe even on Easter, you might hear something good about grace, and then the next week or two later, they're back on whatever it is that they're teaching with this mixture of old covenant versus new law and grace. And I think maybe it even goes back further, Joel, to the maybe even to the garden, where man just felt the urge to do something. To do something to make himself different, to make himself more like God, just like me trying to eat fish to become more like Jesus. It's, you know, a lot of people really look down on Adam and Eve, but it's easy to be an armchair quarterback thousands of years later. And I just think that their goal was to be more like God. Now, I know they were deceived, but how many times in the church world have we heard it's our goal to follow the teachings of Jesus and to live more like Jesus? I mean, we come up with these little snippets sometimes, and they all sound religious and good, but they're really missing the point, and they're not thinking it through, because many things that Jesus taught, we would never do today.
It's deception just as much as it was back then. I mean, it's deception, and I, you know, several different thoughts, but we'll wrap it up for this one. The law is not of faith. That's another quote that I love. You know, Paul said, "The law is not of faith." And so my take from that is that you can't live by faith, because we're told we walk by faith, and you can't walk by faith and also walk by what is not of faith, which is the law. The law is not of faith. So, and then speaking of Easter and the law, I don't know if they still do this on TV, because TV has changed a lot, but they used to always have Easter, and then which is the cross of Jesus Christ, where, you know, the law was nailed to the cross and done away with. And then they would show the Ten Commandments on TV.
The Passover movie.
Yeah, exactly. That was kind of always ironic to me. And yeah, we had a, there was a pastor one time did a very nice series on grace. It was a 4-week series on grace, and everyone's like, "Oh, that was so good." It's followed by a 10-week series on the law, and so, you know, that's all. It just goes to show that in the church there is kind of a big misunderstanding about all of this. The law is not of faith. The law, we're not under law. We're under grace, and our life in Christ is not a matter of trying to keep law, any law, whether it's the actual 613 commandments or anything that's like that. Because if it's about our fleshly attempts at anything, that's what the law is. Trying to live by the law is trying to live according to the flesh. It's fleshly attempts at trying to be justified, or trying to maintain salvation, trying to maintain justification in front of God. And it falls flat. None of it works, because salvation, justification, life is all by grace through faith, and it's apart from law and our works.
This has been Growing in Grace with Mike Kapler and Joel Briesecke, heard online through various internet sources around the world each week. Access past programs by visiting growingingrace.org. Share it with a friend and listen again next week for more Growing in Grace.